we were talking about visualization. Ishan had asked some questions about that. And Mujo, having trained many, many, many years in the Tibetan tradition, see, and I had played with visualization because it intrigued me at one point when I was just really intrigued in cultivating samadhi. But as I understood it, koan practice works in the same way. When you truly become one with the koan, and that's the instructions of a Chan master. There are those out there who feel that it's an intellectual exercise. Yes, and have I passed intellectual exercise? Yes, I have. And in a certain sense, that was an error. But Roshi did a lot, and that's not an excuse. But to truly become one with the koan, and that the group of our group here who went to China, they know what the Chan teachers there, the Chan masters said there. See, a handful of koans in a lifetime, a handful of koans. And actually, even in our lineage, Kori Roshi said that maybe 30 koans in a lifetime. See, well, you figure that I practiced for 27 years, and if I would have taken one koan a year, you see how many koans I would have completed. And you can actually do that. My first koan was about 4.5 or 5 years. The great Mumon, who the compiler of the Gateless Gate, 8 years, see, to resolve that first koan, which is Muji. But what happens is if we get caught in thinking that I have to produce, I have to achieve some standing, I have to get into this higher posturing position, you don't understand the Dharma. You don't understand what Buddha Dharma is about. Buddha Dharma, see, is about your evolution, the evolution of your state of consciousness. Now, the working, and Mujo pretty much agreed, I don't know, we didn't have a chance for him to say you're completely wrong, but we sort of went. He did say that the masters, the Tibetan masters, will tell the student, you become one with it. You become one with it. And the deities or the icons, whatever it is that they're meditating on, where they're trying to become one with it, carries with it certain characteristics. Can you also say sort of psychological states? Yeah. And if you can become one with that, you shift into that mode. See, you make an evolutionary jump. See, and you begin, those characteristics, if you're one with it, are your characteristics. Koans work in the same way, and they hammer you in a variety of ways to get you to see what you're sticking to. And in some instances, we are so deeply entrapped in our way of knowing, see, that it takes a long time. 4.5 to 5 years for me. First koan, with some of Roshi's students, that was the full length of time spent on all of the koans, if they did in fact go through them, see. But a koan that you actually become one with, you will know. There has been a turn, and people in this room have had that turning. And the problem is if you slip back into your egocentric mind and think you've got it. See, I suspect the Tibetan masters have a way of working with that also, to keep, you have to continuously releasing what you know. But again, see, what a remarkable thing. But what Mujo and I both agreed from his training, my training, see, is you make this effort. And you can, this visualization can begin to take place. You will see it, but it will be distorted. It will come into focus. It will fade. Your mind will squirt away. You hold it. You hold it. You can't seem to get it right. See, and if we make the sufficient effort, same thing with a koan. See, you make a sufficient effort. See, there is a place, and we can call it alaya, where you release, you relax, and the visualization has taken place, the oneness. Same thing with the koan. Same thing with the koan. And when that occurs, see, a couple of things happen. First, excitement sets in. Excitement? Yeah, see. And then, I've got it! It's gone again. See, it is in the relaxed state. As Roshi said, the effort of no effort is the greatest effort you will ever expend. See, but again, it all comes back to you. See, all of Buddhism, see, is nothing other than your evolution. Now, Shikhan sent me something here, sent me a thing about Tai Chi and what's happening at some of the studies that's been done at UCLA at the Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Research Therapy, something to this effect, with Tai Chi. Now, understand that Tai Chi is nothing other than you. See, and what they have found, and I'm going to assume that some of these researchers, these professors, these doctors, see, are beginning, see, to see beyond a dualistic state. See, but what they found is inflammation, see, in survivors of breast cancer is reduced simply by doing Tai Chi. See, an amazing thing. They use a variety of drugs. You can go down, you can buy a variety of things from the health. Inflammation. And there are those, some of them that I follow, who say that inflammation of the body is one of the worst things that we have to contend with now. And part of it has to do with diet. See, that we are just, but Tai Chi, simply moving. See, now, not moving in an egocentric way. You will never know Tai Chi as long as you're sitting there admiring the beauty of your work. Now, do I know anything about Tai Chi? No. But was I around a couple of pretty fair practitioners? Absolutely. Kokan and my wife. See, Kokan was a Zen monk who became quite accomplished, and he studied, I think I had actually talked to Kogyo on this, he studied with a man from China who was considered a living master. I think his name was Douyin. See, I actually went to watch him work, and it was a really amazing thing, because you had no sense of an egocentric mind. You simply watched the movement. See, you become quiet. See, you begin to quiet down. See, and as you quiet down, all sorts of amazing things can take place with you. See, the same thing, placebo effect. See, when you leave a negative position, when you leave this constant carping on yourself in negative, greedy, angry terms. See, if you for a moment, with profound faith, something changes. And you have top scientists who believe in this. See, and it isn't a question now of belief, who know that this is in fact true. And what does it point? It points to you. The Tai Chi teacher can't do anything. You do it. Your application to your practice. It's the same thing in this most amazing journey that we're on. See, there is no teacher who can tap you and do it for you. See, there is no special skill involved. See, all of Buddhism is about you. And right effort, right discipline. See, if you will sit down and if you will trust the way, if you will embrace, see, the template, the raft, see, that the Shakyamuni Buddha has established for us. See, and this is the raft that he established for us. It isn't something floating out there. If you think in those terms, see, of praying to something out there, you're not seeing, you're not experiencing, you're not realizing what you are. There is no out there. There is just this most amazing world of oneness. Become one with. See? Become one with. If you are in fact one with, there is no separation. You have moved beyond the duality. The whole point is to begin to tap into this most amazing, see, this most amazing reservoir of power, that's you, that can transform, that can lift you past, see, this narrow band. See, that's dictated to by greed and ignorance. See, greed, anger, and ignorance. See, and the ignorance is what? That you still experience yourself as separate. Become one with what? The only thing that you can become one with. This now. Become one with this means to stop working in the dualistic, egocentric mind. Any fantasy you hold in your mind about an enlightened state, to that extent, those out there who criticize Buddha Dharma or are critical and say there is no enlightenment, to that extent, they're right. But they don't understand that they're in a delusional state. See? The fantasy world that you hold in your head is simply a fantasy world. There is enlightenment. What is enlightenment? See? When you leave the fantasy world, when you drop it. You can't leave it, just drop it. It's that simple. Then the enlightened state, see, automatically opens. See? It's an amazing thing.